sharing with you some individuals who will be in the room who are part of our fellowship program, which means they have come to another ICANN meeting previously after being accepted through an application process, and they get a one-week fast track through the ICANN experience. Daily presentations by chairs of our community groups, one-on-one experiences with our executive team members and community members, and from their perspective, they want to give back to the newcomers and help share that previous experience with the newcomers so that their week is successful and productive. And so I'll introduce you at the end of the afternoon to some of these fellowship members that you'll be able to get the face and the name and meet up with if you need any guidance or mentoring during the week. So the first thing I'd like to do before I go any further is to introduce virtually our President and CEO, Fadi Shehadi, for a welcome to you.
Hola, bienvenido a Buenos Aires. I'm Fadi. I just wanted to welcome you to this very, very important meeting of the ICANN community. You are the newcomers, and we welcome you with open arms. We want you to be comfortable here. Anything and everything we do here is for keeping the internet one, keeping it strong, keeping it open, so that people around the world can benefit from this great force of good, this great force of human development, of education, and frankly, even of peace, because the internet breaks all the barriers between us. So I welcome you. I want you to be comfortable here. All of us are here to help you understand the complexities of the ICANN world and make them simpler and make you a part of this important family. We're committed, and we hope you will join us in this important commitment to keeping the internet one and open for everyone. Welcome.
I'm also not very technical. I myself am from a more of an unusual background into ICANN. So I am really the perfect person to tell everyone it doesn't matter if you're from a technical background, an academic background, a business background. If you are an end user, and what you do is just put your fingers to the keys, like I do most times, and hope something really great pops up. We're here for everybody. ICANN is open to all, and we need every different experience to be part of this community. I'll back up a little bit and tell you that my background is education. I was trained to be a teacher. I taught for several years, and then I joined that cult called Disney. So I was with Disney for the Disney Corporation for about 21 years. And learned a lot about engagement, actually. Learned a lot about how to make people work together from many different backgrounds to bring a positive experience to others. And I think that's what I really strive to do here, is to take people from so many diverse backgrounds and provide them a positive and successful experience here. I can't do it alone. We're doing it all together as staff and community to make sure you as newcomers want to come back, because we need you. There's a lot of work to be done in the internet space, and we need every single face from every single background that I see here before me. So know that there is much more ahead. I've been with ICANN for 7 years. I was lost and confused for about one. I started to pick up the pace on the second year, and by the third year, they let me go out because they thought maybe I could get it and share it. So it's not, it is a complex organization with a lot of work. This week and through this newcomer session today, we hope to make a better experience. We hope to enable your learning to come along at a better pace. I talked about the mentors and the fellowship program. It's also available from our community. If you simply raise your hand in a session that you're in and say proudly, I am a newcomer to the ICANN community. I'm a little lost. I'll need some guidance. You will be so surprised at the members of the community that will meet you at a coffee break or come to see you during a break or meet you at a social and say, I remember your face and I'm here to help. So be very proud of the green newcomer sticker that should be at the bottom of your credentials. If you did not get one at registration, you can go back and get newcomer. Our board members, our community members, they look for that green badge in order to know who it is, you know, that's new to embrace. One of the other things that we want to talk to you about is our language. As English is mine, and I thought coming into ICANN, maybe that would be the base language that would connect me with everyone else. The reason I was kind of out of it for a year was because no one ever gave me the new language, the ICANN language. So this is a language of acronyms. And for some reason, once people have been through one meeting, they come to the next one winging out the acronyms as if they don't remember from their first meeting how confusing it was. It's like a badge of honor that you know what CCNSO, WG, IETF, ESSAC, RSAC, GAC. I mean, you can barely say that, GAC. You know, how are you supposed to know what all these are and keep up? So we do have on many of the ICANN web pages an acronym finder. And I also have a link at the end of this presentation where you can link to the acronym finders. So you can bring it up, bring the website up when you're in sessions and have that acronym finder in front of you. So when one of those strange words or acronyms comes flying out of the microphone, you can type it in and find out what everyone else is talking about and acting as if they know. Okay, so there are a lot more new people that are in the room. You are not alone. Okay, so we do try to have some tools that will help you. And by the way, this session, the PowerPoint, is already posted in the ICANN schedule. So when you go to the Buenos Aires schedule, you click onto newcomer session, go to the bottom, and you will find this presentation where the embedded acronym finder is, okay? And it's also on the homepage of the ICANN website. I want to stress closed doors. Doors are closed because it's windy. Doors are closed because the inside needs to be able to hear each other. Doors are closed because we have so many sessions, we need to have some quiet from the hallways. Doors are not closed to keep you out. Okay, they have their purpose as they do in your own homes or offices. So open that door. You know, so when you open a door, as I did in San Juan in 2007 for the first time, it feels like you're coming to a brand new high school, and everybody in the room knows everyone, and they look out at the new person opening the door with that, like, evil stare. You know? So you need to blow that off, first of all. You belong here. And you go in the room, you sit down, you start to take in the information. I don't want anyone to feel that they are closed out. With that being said, we have some closed meetings here. On the schedule, you will see a small C next to a title of a session. In that case, the people in the room are closed in. You are not closed out. Sometimes the Government Advisory Committee or the at-large advisory committee or one of our constituencies, such as the business constituency or the intellectual property constituency, they need time to come to consensus over a discussion about a policy or a process. So they need to close the doors, close themselves in to get that discussion. When the doors are open to the public session, they'll be relaying their consensus, what they had determined as a community group. So there are very few of those here. And they are not meant to close you out, but to close the others in until they can reach consensus on what they're talking about. The idea that everybody knows everybody. One of the new fellows came up to me after our morning introduction and said, first arriving at the Sheraton, she walked in and saw groups of people hugging each other and kissing each other, and just everyone looked like they all knew each other. It was a big reunion. And we kind of are. Once you're in this, every time we come together three times a year, we're really happy to see those people that we met at the last ICANN meeting. It's genuine. We're happy that they're here. But last meeting, they were the ones walking in the door, looking at the people, hugging and kissing themselves, and yeah. So don't feel that way. Join in. Argentina's one kiss, I found out. You know, the Dutch, if you're there, it's four. Argentina, I found, is one. So they're into the hug. They're into the one kiss in the cheek. It's all good. But we are here to create a casual family experience for you within a very complex and intense week. We'll tell you a little bit later how to blow off some steam to get from the intense to the casual, okay? But everybody knows everybody because they introduce each other. They've been there. Introduce yourselves to each other. When you're walking around, you'll be doing the hugging, the kissing, and everybody will think you know everybody too. So with that, I'm going to start into the meat of this morning. What we offer is kind of a baseline, kind of give you a place to go from for the rest of the day and the rest of the week, an understanding about ICANN's role in the internet ecosystem and how we do that work. Rodrigo de la Parra, to my left, is the Vice President of Stakeholder Engagement for Latin America and the Caribbean. Albert Daniels, who's coming up to join us, is a manager of stakeholder engagement. I'll let you both tell just your quick story of entry into ICANN. I've known Albert since 2007, and working when he worked with the community, and now he's working with ICANN. But these gentlemen will be talking in Spanish, and so I, like the rest of you who are not based, will be putting our headsets on. One more introduction. Alexandria Danz is the manager of communication for Latin America and the Caribbean. And so she's kindly here, and she will be helping us to take any questions that come in. Also, for all of you, we're going to have two roving mics. If at a time you would like to ask a question, this is one of those sessions where you raise your hand and ask the question. If it's something you really need to know kind of immediately and would like that discussion, this day is about having that discussion. So we're going to have a couple folks with microphones, and we really want you to ask us questions so that you leave today feeling comfortable and confident about how the rest of the week is. So we're going to get those mics out. Please raise your hand at any point in time if you would like to ask a question or further the discussion. We'd be more than happy to have your comments and questions. So with that, Rodrigo, I will pass to you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Janice. We'll have both English and Spanish, now Spanish, and then Albert will speak in English, so be ready with your headsets. Good morning. Welcome to Buenos Aires. Welcome to Argentina. Welcome to Latin America. And, of course, welcome to the ICANN meeting. I guess you've all heard about ICANN. You won't be here otherwise. And you know that we play some technical roles, and if you still have questions, you will get more information now. And I want you to know that the way in which ICANN has chosen to play these roles is through what we call the multiple stakeholder model. And it's here where we see the big challenge for ICANN. The big challenge for ICANN does not lie in the technical roles or the coordination of technical resources. The big challenge for ICANN lies in working through this multi-stakeholder model. And I think that one of the best ways to see that this model is actually working is the fact that we're here, seeing you here, seeing that there are new faces, new people who want to get involved in the ICANN model, who want to participate in decision-making, who want to learn more, who want to join a group, maybe already are part of a group. I see some familiar faces of some groups with ICANN, but people who have not been here at this meeting before. So you're doubly welcome to this meeting. The ICANN model assumes that there is strong engagement among all sectors. I don't want to get into the sea of acronyms, but I want you to know that there are internet users here, the civil society, the governments are represented too, as well as what we call the technical internet community. I'm going to get deeper into that later on, because there are different branches or divisions there. Once you have the private sector, has several specific aspects to it, too. But basically, these are the stakeholder groups represented in ICANN. And the model assumes that everyone participates. This is why we go from one region to the other. The ICANN meetings take place 3 times a year. Now we're holding the 3rd meeting this year, but we've already had a meeting in Asia-Pacific, in Beijing, and then later there was the Durban meeting in South Africa. And now we are here in Latin America and the Caribbean region in this beautiful place. And we're doing this in this way to get closer to the local communities so that everyone will have a chance to be close to an ICANN meeting. And the first step might be to get physically involved in a meeting, but later you can keep participating in meetings through the mechanisms we have for remote participation. And you may also be part of the support programs, the fellow programs, and others which are ongoing and which may help you. The central support structure of ICANN. I think those of you who are here, well, all of us who are here, we are at the best place to start with ICANN. This may seem obvious, but not everyone who's familiar with ICANN has ever attended an ICANN meeting. I think the best way to get involved with ICANN is to be here at this meeting. If somebody were to explain this on paper, it's interesting, but it's not something that cannot be described with words. You have to live the experience. And I think that being here is a great opportunity. On the other hand, being here on this path of newcomers or fellows, because rather than having you go out and open doors mentioned by Janice, please do that, you'll be here, and we and the other people from all the other stakeholder groups will come to you and will explain what they do. I think this is very important. Janice has already introduced a team. There is a great global team that's called the Global Engagement Team with colleagues in the different regions all over the world. Now I'm here because we're in this region. And the regional team, as Jenny said, is made up of Albert. He will introduce himself later on. Albert Daniels is in charge of the Caribbean region. There used to be a person based in Brazil who is no longer with us, but there will be somebody with us in Brazil. And Alex Dance is in Montevideo. She is Uruguayan, and she's in a place that's very special for ICANN. For ICANN and the regional internet community, that is very special, as you may know, and if you don't, I will explain this to you. ICANN is starting a strong internationalization or globalization strategy. It's been identified that ICANN should take its gravity center out of the U.S. to really reach all regions, responding to the internet phenomenon, which is a global network. This is why we have set headquarters in three places, not only in Los Angeles. There are two more, one in Istanbul, another one in Singapore. And the logic follows the time zones so that we can be there at all times. And we also have the engagement centers. And the engagement centers' goal is to be closer to the communities. That's the role they play, to engage, to reach out, to give the community a place where they can go to that's closer to them. And in Latin America, we've decided to set our office in Montevideo. And you may say, well, why in a southern place? Well, there is a reason to that. Something unique happens in Montevideo. There is a technical internet community. ICANN is not the only one who is part of this technical community. There are other organizations, and in Montevideo, we're all under the same umbrella, and we call it the Internet House, the House of Internet for Latin America and the Caribbean. There is LACNIC, which is one of the five registrars, regional registrars. There is LACTLD. LACTLD is a regional organization that groups the registries or country codes, a domain name, .mx, .pe, .ar, .br. This organization groups all of them. ISOC, which I'm sure you're familiar with, has a regional office there as well. The CLARA Network, which is the Latin American Association of Academic Networks, is also there in that house. There are private sector organizations such as CIET. There is an initiative for traffic interconnection points, which is also based there. So ICANN, which is the newest in that home, well, the decision was easy for us because we just had to join that initiative. Actually, we work with them very well. And being under that roof represents this joint work that we do in the region. And there we go. There's still lots of things to be done in Latin America. We're building a strategic plan for the region, made by the region, for the region. It's being designed by the different stakeholder groups. I've just mentioned those big groups are represented in a group which designed the strategic plan that's being implemented right now. My colleagues from other regions will also tell you about this. They also have a strategic plan for the regions. And this plan as well is not a strategy devised by ICANN or by the ICANN board. Rather, it is a strategy created by the community, implemented by the community, so that it will serve the communities in the different regions. Well, let's go back to our slides. And let's talk about the internet ecosystem. I'm not going to say exactly what's on the slides because there might be an easier way to explain things. internet, as you may know, is a network of networks. And by this, we do not only mean that it's a super network, but that it's also made up of small, middle-sized, or large networks that are interconnected. And this is a concept that should never be lost. It's very visual, and it describes the nature, the decentralized nature of the internet. I think, well, a division that's worthwhile mentioning regarding this ecosystem is two parts in the internet. On one hand, we have the organizations, individuals, and processes that make internet work. For example, in the case of ICANN, where here we manage globally the pool of IP addresses, and the IP blocks are assigned to regional registrars who in turn do this with local ISPs and other organizations which manage and use IP addresses. There are other organizations such as the IETF, which are also working at this level and which design the protocols and other technical standards which also make the internet work. This is a technical layer. ISOC also works at this level, between this level and the next one. And there are other organizations doing the same thing. But then there's another layer which may be more familiar to us. And it's the layer of users. Even individuals who use internet, organizations, individuals, were not so much concerned about the hardware, the protocol, IP addresses, but we are at the user level. And users are not only individual users. A user may be the government using the network, the creation of content, applications. At this layer, we may already be seeing the big content and application generators such as Google, Facebook, Twitter. We may see all of this in this other layer. But by the end of the day, we are all part of this ecosystem. And this ecosystem, which needs to move in a very coordinated manner, and at the same time, in a very decentralized way, respectfully, so that it will work in a healthy way. If you review one of the pillars we have in our ICANN community, is our contribution so that this ecosystem will remain healthy. We make our small contribution to that. ICANN, as you may see, is one of those organizations that plays a specific role in the ecosystem. This may sound funny, but many people have identified the role of ICANN as the internet Achilles heel. It's a decentralized network, but there is a small part in the internet which requires a central coordination, global coordination, so that we can all keep a single interoperable internet. The management of internet critical resources, I'm going to focus on IP addresses and domain names. This has to be done in a centralized manner, in a coordinated manner. The ICANN role, from that point of view, for those of you who are not from the technical field, that's a way in which people, through their computers and devices, can find one another in the internet. This can be done through this unique identifier, an IP address. for those identifiers to be unique and for the internet to be interoperable, we need somebody to do the management. IP addresses are really difficult to remember by user. It's usually long numbers, very long numbers. The current protocol in IPv4, they are very long. The IPv6, you will soon learn about it. Numbers are very long and complicated, so this is why this domain name system was devised, which the system translates IP addresses into domain names, which are easier to remember for users. So if you review the ICANN acronym, there are two N's, one's for names and the other N is for number. By numbers, we mean the IP addresses, and by names, we mean the domain name system. Gradually, we'll get deeper into this because various branches open up. So ICANN plays this significant role. The technical role is important. It's okay. There are very qualified people in the internet and in the community to do this. But the big challenge is to do this through a multi-stakeholder model. With this huge responsibility, ICANN is not choosing to do this in a closed environment with 50 engineers in the US who can do this very efficiently and quickly, but they've chosen to do this in a different way, and they've been doing this for 15 years. This is why we're going throughout different places all over the world, mass meeting with 2,000 participants, different stakeholder groups, in a very complicated decision-making process. Thank you for this slide. I'm going to explain our structure now. From the administrative efficiency point of view, this is not the best way to do it, but we're convinced that this is the only way in which this should be done because it responds to a model which is owned by all of us, but all the stakeholder groups represented in ICANN. So governments need to be there and everyone else as well. I'm going to use this slide to explain the ICANN structure. We have the board. You may see there are some arrows there going from the different groups at the bottom to the board. And that's because all the stakeholder groups are represented at the board. The board is made up of individuals who hold honorary terms. Very recently, the community has decided to give them a compensation, but it's quite symbolic. They all have their own jobs, businesses, and they participate as volunteers in ICANN. These people are very committed to the development of the internet, and many of them are outstanding professionals, and there are some internet pioneers with us. You will meet Bin Cerf, who is considered one of the fathers of the internet. He was the president of the ICANN board, and today the chair of the board, Steve Crocker, is still part of that generation of internet pioneers. There are people from different regions. There are some rules in our bylaws. You cannot have one region that is not represented. There should be at least one person per region in the board. And we should have representatives of different stakeholder groups, with the exception of the NUMCOM, which I'm going to explain right now.
And there may not be less than five in one single region in order just to balance this. It's precisely the board of directors that receives this through a process and through the different stakeholder groups. it receives the proposals. And so by the end, certain decisions are made. But they're all started from the bottom up. This is one of the characteristics that ICANN has. We are a multiple stakeholder model. This is one of our principles. It's part of our DNA. But then one other thing is decisions in ICANN are made from the bottom up. And perhaps a third thing is we need to reach consensus. We do not vote. There are no votes in ICANN. You're not going to find voting machines, voting devices. All of the groups of interest talk between them. Then there's a consensus. There's meetings between the groups of interest who discuss among them. And then we finally reach the board, which at some point has to vote. But many of the decisions within the board are made through consensus. We also have a staff. This is where we participate. And our main role is the technical responsibility that I was referring to. Then another role is to create engagement and to try to feed our multiple stakeholder model precisely by means of these initiatives we have mentioned. But probably the most important part is we are at the service of the community. When we receive an instruction from the board, our job is to implement it. We are working full-time for this organization, and our responsibility is to implement. One of the main issues discussed in the community for the past 8 years has been the new GTLDs program. And by the end of the program, we just provide support with the help, with the information, with documents, and the community has the responsibility to execute it. And so this is the main reason we have to be with the staff. So then we have three organizations, which, as you see, will end with the letters SO. This means they are support organizations. We go back to the acronym explanations. We have names and numbers. And so in the number part, there is a support organization, which is the ASO. I'm sorry. A stands for address. It refers to the IP address. And this is the organization that supports this part of ICANN. There, we will see five regional registrars. We can start with LACNIC, but there's others for Africa, for Asia-Pacific, for Europe, and for North America. And then the other N in ICANN, the name part, was divided in two. So there's one, but with the evolution of the community, it was divided in two. One for the generic domains, which is the GNSO. I will now explain about it. And the other one is the CNSOs for the country code codes. CC precisely stands for country code in English. And it makes sense to divide it because the logic that generics have is very different from the logic that you will see on CCs. What they have in common is they are top-level domain. This means that part which is at the right of the dot. If you look at the anatomy of a domain name, after the dot you will see these TLDs, top-level domains. And this is perhaps the only thing they have in common. They are internet registries, and they have an important function, not only from the business standpoint, but at the technical level, this helps to route communications on the internet. The difference, the big difference there is between them in the ICANN community is that GTLDs such as .com, .net, .org, and now the more than 1,000 TLDs that will come up have a contractual relationship with ICANN. And so they have obligations. within this agreement to provide ICANN with a quota because as a result of the sales of their domains. In the case of the CC and the policies applied to GTLDs in the that are discussed on the GNSO, these are global policies. They apply to all of them. Now, the CCs do not really have a contractual relationship with ICANN. They don't have any need or any obligation to provide any fees or any dues. So it's the members of the countries that dictate their own policies, such as dispute resolution policies, registry and registrar models, etc. But in ICANN, they find a place first to be part of the decision-making process within the ecosystem and also to establish good practices. So this is the rationale behind splitting this second N in two. Now, the GNSO, as it is described here, is a very complex organization because we do not only have representatives of the registries of the generic TLDs. It's not only .com, .net, and etc. in this organization. Now, the GNSO is the reference, is the benchmark for businesses. Someone will come here from the GNSO to explain this because it is a very complex organization. I was just about to say that within the GNSO there are non-commercial stakeholder groups and this may confuse you more. But in essence, this is the central part. They also have a very complex representation system. They have intellectual property protection lawyers. And if you think of the domain name system and how it evolves, all of the interests are involved in there. Let's go now to the following slide, please. Now, with regards to governments, I was referring to the SO, to the support organization. So we have some others that end in AC. Those that end in AC are advisory committees. That's what AC stands for. So these advisory committees in ICANN include governments. There also are security and stability issues. There is a council that deals with that. And we also have the users, or ALAC. ALAC stands for at large. And this doesn't really make a lot of sense in Spanish, but this is where the civil society and the internet users are represented. They are the ACs, or advisory committees. Now, in the case of governments, this is open for all the governments of the world. There are more than 125 governments represented at the Governmental Advisory Committee, the GAC. And in fact, there has been an important debate because governments do not really have a seat with a right to vote in the board of directors. They are there. The GAC chair has a seat at the board, but it also has a vote. So why don't do governments vote? And so within the same governments, we have seen this discussion. Before being in ICANN, I worked for the Mexican government. And one of my obligations or responsibilities was to receive ICANN from the governmental point of view. So we used to say that even if you give 3 or 4 seats to governments, they would never have the specific weight they have nowadays. The functions governments have to provide and to guide the communities on the dimension of public interest issues is really essential. It is paramount. That's why we say it has a special status. And the board of directors, when it hears this GAC input, that provides what we give, what we call the gag communique, this is something we usually observe. But it is always done very respectfully. The gag also interacts with the other groups of interest, and by the end of the day, it has, I wouldn't really say a prerogative, but it has this great responsibility to give us, the community, some support to provide this public component to implement these measures. I'm not sure if we have any other slide to refer to some other stakeholder group. This is a very interesting one, and it is what gives ICANN this distinction, this distinctive character. You will hear there are many organizations that are so-called multi-stakeholder. And it seems being a multi-stakeholder organization is easier, because if there's more than one, then we are multi. And so there are organizations that have governments and industries represented in them, and so these are multi-stakeholder organizations. This concept, as you can see, is a lot more delicate, is a lot more profound, and I think one of the elements that distinguishes them is that we have this group represented, which is civil society, and we also have users represented, and they are represented in an equal footing. They do have a seat at the board, and the organization at the world level for at large is subdivided into five regions. These regional organizations that also have a certain autonomy from ICANN are made up of ALSEs or at large structures. And so they are nothing more than civil society organizations that respond to internet users' interests in their own countries and their own regions. And nowadays, there are 150 organizations or 150 at-large structures. I was a bit late today, precisely because I was sharing some time with them. And I think the work they do is really fantastic. For us, as ICANN, this is also a way to have some kind of small embassies. Informally speaking, we feel we have ambassadors everywhere, all of the regions are represented, and they do a very important volunteer work. I hope you will have the opportunity, maybe some of you are already part of this endeavor, and also to provide input for decision making right there. Is there any other issue to be dealt with, or should we give the floor to Alex and Albert, or are there any questions, or Maybe you got bored.
Bored listening to you. So I think just in a summary point. So what we're trying to show here, and I put another example of the multi-stakeholder model up here behind us. I mentioned it earlier today to the fellowship as we met at 8. ICANN is made up, I call it 1+1, which is staff plus community equals ICANN. So all of those multi-stakeholder community groups that Rodrigo was just describing, those that are supporting organizations, those that are on an advisory level, all of these organizations are made up of community volunteers, just like you're sitting here now. And they are working to bring their voice from their region or from their area of interest into the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. They're finding a way to get what's important to them put up on the table so that their needs are met. Part of what Rodrigo was talking about in the global engagement strategy of bringing ICANN out of that U.S.-centric type of view and bringing us out into the community, it's about making this multi-stakeholder model work even better. So we are coming to to you from an ICANN staff perspective, because it's the community's request of work that we implement. So all of these pieces of the multi-stakeholder model, it's all about people. So if we don't have the voice of all the different types of people from all the different backgrounds, you know, we don't have the full picture of what's needed to make the internet remain interoperable, secure, and stable, and have the policies that are brought up through the supporting organizations because of the needs of the community realized and implemented by staff. So when the first time you start to look at the model, it appears kind of, you know, vertical, straight line, complex. But let's get down to it. It's about people. You know, and what do the people need, and what do we need to do to support those needs while keeping the internet stable and secure? One of the things that I always like to share as well is we're here to demystify, and we're here to take the myths of what you hear and break them down to the truths. So if you are asking, does ICANN run the internet? Which is a common question. What we're trying to say here is that ICANN is one entity that's part of the internet ecosystem, and our mandate is to make sure that it's secure and stable. That doesn't translate into ICANN runs the internet. That translates into ICANN has a certain mandate within the internet ecosystem, and we are here to implement that and make sure that we're doing it in a fair, transparent, accountable way. So this model that I put up behind shows that it's all of us involved in the policy making, all of us involved in making sure that things are run safely and securely. When we get to this afternoon, we're going to talk to some of the folks, as Rodrigo alluded to, that are in these different places that are working on policy, that are working with our security and stability team. And they're going to give you some more information about that you can discuss back and forth about how that relates to you. But it's really about the people. It's coming down to that, right? Albert, yes, I'd love Rodrigo, I'd love for Albert to introduce himself as well and a little bit of his background in here.
Gracias, Janice. Yo me tengo que disculpar porque...
Thank you, Janice. I need to apologize because I have to go to another meeting, but I welcome you. I'm going to leave you here with Albert and Alex. And whatever you need from us, please do ask questions. Thank you for being here today and for being part of this endeavor. Now I give the floor to the other speaker.
Janice and Rodrigo. I think one of the most important questions that anybody at an ICANN meeting will have for themselves is, why am I here? And for newcomers, it's a particularly important question because it takes some time before you can find the answer. If you look around the room, one of the first things you would realize is that there are differences. There are differences in appearance. There are definitely differences in language. And we know that in our countries, there are differences in size. But one of the things that brings us all together is the internet. And the reason for that is that in each of our countries, we know that the internet can be a platform for economic and social development. And I think one of the reasons that we are here is to see what contribution that individually we can make to ensuring that this potential opportunity for economic and social development is realized in each of our countries. So we need to focus on that. We need to ask ourselves, what is our individual role representing our countries, representing our constituencies, representing multiple parts of the internet ecosystem, and how can we ensure that that role is fulfilled? This word, the multi-stakeholder model, is very important because within ICANN, this model allows every part of the community to have a voice. Business has a voice, the end users have a voice, civil society, education has a voice, the technical community, and you heard from Rodrigo, governments have an important voice, and in a way, ICANN as an organization has played the lead in getting all of the stakeholders into forums where they can discuss important issues and arrive at consensus. Even when we disagree within ICANN, it's done in a nice way, and the process is continued so that we can arrive at policy to govern how the internet works. So the whole idea is that your participation in ICANN, I would say, is a journey. That journey started a long time ago in your specific area of work in your countries. Whether you are a lawyer, this morning we heard we have people from the medical community, technical community. The journey has started. It continues here at ICANN by you first understanding all of the various parts of ICANN and then finding out carefully how you can focus on one area of interest. In the Caribbean, we are very small, so sometimes a single individual has to play several roles, and you might find yourself in the same situation. You go back home and you have to speak to government. You have to speak to persons in education. You have to speak to the professional organizations. And perhaps then your work at an ICANN meeting is doubled or tripled because you have to go to the government meeting. You have to go to the technical meeting because there's one person from your country, maybe because of finance or for some other reason, who could attend the ICANN meeting. But in any case, your role here at the ICANN meeting is to take back as much as you can back to your home country. So you will find that persons have different experiences, and I would like to talk a little bit about my experience and how it relates to the Caribbean, because even though the countries are different, you would find that there are many similarities which can guide you in how to take best advantage of your participation here at ICANN. I come from a technical background, so one of the supporting organizations that Rodrigo spoke about was the CCNSO, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, and every country has what we call a CC. In the case of the United Kingdom, it's .UK, in the case of Barbados, it's .BB, in the case of St. Lucia, it's .LC, and you can see the whole list in all of the material. And very importantly, as Rodrigo mentioned, the country codes, since they represent individual countries, basically are run by the countries. So persons from the various stakeholders from within the countries determine what the policies are going to be at that level. So you may have in your country someone who represents the CC. You may be that individual. In many cases, that individual was the father or the mother of the internet. You know, that one person who knew a little bit about the internet and helped in bringing the internet to your country. In the case of St. Lucia, where I come from, I am considered the father of the internet just because I was around when things were starting. But having been there, I now have this big role to make sure that my country participates and gets best value of this big economic and social opportunity that is the internet. And you have this same responsibility in each of your countries. And this is where the global nature of ICANN comes in. This is where the internationalization comes in. After your week at an ICANN meeting, you then become part of this multi-stakeholder movement by ensuring that all of the stakeholders in your country participate. Gabby asked me a question, and Gabby may be around somewhere. She asked me a question, you know, earlier this morning. She said, Albert, I would like to find out about global stakeholder engagement. And my response was, well, let's look at those words, global. So ICANN is a global organization, and there is testimony to that by all of you being here today. You are all from several different countries. And who are the stakeholders? In some of those slides that we saw earlier on, the stakeholders were named. Business, civil society, end users, technical community, government. And engagement, we all understand in each of our languages. So global stakeholder engagement means in each of our territories, identifying the stakeholders, making sure they understand what happens in ICANN, and then ensuring that once they have gotten that understanding, they then find a way to participate. So your place in the journey right now is in the understanding what happens at ICANN position. Once you have understood, you go back to your countries and you explain to all of the stakeholders what is the GAC, what is the CCNSO, what is ALAC. And don't worry, by the end of the week, you will be speaking in acronyms as well, you know, after having gone to some of the different rooms. And then once you have made that communication in each of your countries, it is your job as maybe, I don't know how you say in Spanish and the other languages, it is your job to be an evangelist. You have to encourage, you have to support, you have to ensure that individuals in the government participate, individuals in the technical community participate. If they are not participating, you find out why, you encourage. But in order to do that, you yourselves have to participate in the ICANN processes. There is somebody from Dominica here, and one of the questions that he asked me this morning, well, Albert, our government representative could not make it. He couldn't get a visa. So now, even though I am here as a fellow representing the CC community and finding out about the CC community, I must also pay some attention to what is happening with the governmental advisory committee. That is easy to do at ICANN. We have something called remote participation. And sometimes when you sit in one room, maybe in the CCNSO room, you can bring up your laptop and you can follow remotely also what is happening in another room. Also, at the ends of most ICANN meetings, the presentations, the slides, a transcript of what has taken place and maybe some of the key decisions are available from the topic websites. And even though you may not have been able to sit in a particular room to witness the discussions face-to-face, you can actually take those materials, study them further, and communicate them to others. Even while you are here in Buenos Aires is a very nice place, but not everybody from our countries could attend Buenos Aires. You can send an email back home to persons from your community and say, look, go to their ICANN website, buenosaires48.icann.org, and go to the schedule, see what you are interested in, and go to the virtual participation link. And even though you are back home in Africa or in Europe or in Scandinavia, you can still participate in what is happening. And you can participate at different levels. As a new person, you can find out what is going on. As a more experienced person, you can follow specific discussions. And gradually, you come to the most important part, which is standing up, going to the microphone, and letting your perspective be an input to ICANN's policy development processes. And that is why you are here, to understand what ICANN multi-stakeholder model is all about, and to come to the point where you can bring the perspective of your individual countries to the debate. So I started as a CC TLD manager, and eventually somebody from ICANN came to St. Lucia and said, well, you know, you should go to an ICANN meeting. And I thought to myself, what is this thing, ICANN meeting? Okay, so Puerto Rico, I get to travel and go to a nice country, stay in a nice hotel, so maybe I should go. And I came to the meeting. And initially, maybe some of you might be thinking the same thing, but I ended up in the fellowship program. And the fellowship program, I said this once before this morning, the fellowship program is the best way to learn about ICANN. Because within the fellowship program that Janice is now leading, you have a very intimate contact with the key persons within ICANN and within the ecosystem. They will come to a small room like this, and you will be able to ask them a question one-on-one. And there is no foolish question. I mean, you can ask a question about anything, and what you will find is that those who have been around a little bit longer in ICANN are always eager to assist and to bring you up to the level where you can have a full participation in what is going on. So I went to this first ICANN meeting, and as usual, I went to a meeting like this, and, you know, the experienced persons were spilling it out, ESSAC, RSAC, CAC, ALAC, all of these different acronyms. And I thought I was speaking English, but I realized, you know, there's another type of English. There is the ICANN English. But it's okay. After a few days, when you go back home, you will be using those same acronyms, but you would have spent time in each of the different parts of ICANN learning why we're speaking those acronyms and learning why those different areas are important. I went to three ICANN meetings before I really started getting a grasp of what ICANN was all about. So if by Thursday or Friday you are still confused, it's okay. Because you know what? You can go back to your countries, and you can go back to the ICANN website, you can go back to the materials, and you can continue studying, you can continue understanding what the issues are all about. But my journey went from being a fellow in the early stages to my fifth ICANN meeting, where Janice invited me to be what we call a fellowship mentor. Because, you know, I took up the challenge. I said to myself, look, I am not going to feel like a fool at this big, important meeting. So I went and I studied these things. I learned about it. And eventually, I was in a position where I could help others to understand. Just helping others understand which room to go to. Where is the room? How do I get to the GAC room? How do I get to the CCNS own room? When I go to an ALAC meeting, why are these people having these kinds of attitudes? And there are reasons, you know, people come here with their own issues. They come here ready to fight their own fights. They come here with their own positions on national issues. But very importantly, as our president and CEO will always say, it is important to listen. It is important to understand the perspective of the other persons in the room. Because even though we may go into a discussion with our own perspectives, there may be value to try to understand why the other persons are speaking in their tone and why they are saying what they are saying. And perhaps we can come together in a middle ground on, you know, policy development. Because remember always, why are we here? We are here because the internet holds an opportunity for economic and social development in our countries. There's no sense staying in a fight for fighting's sake. It's better if we can understand everybody's position and come to some common ground so that we can move forward. So by the Cairo-Egypt meeting, I had a very fulfilling experience of being fellowship mentor and answering all of the questions, well, not all, but most of the questions that the fellows brought to me, and even answering questions of other persons who had come to the ICANN meetings. And no one person can ever answer every single question at ICANN. You will always find, as some have said earlier today, that there are individuals who are specialists in one area. Maybe it's security, maybe it's IPv6, maybe it's internet governance issues. And feel free, there's nothing wrong with not encountering a person who can always answer, but there are many of us here on staff, and there are many persons in an ICANN meeting who can help you along on your journey. And then after the Cairo meeting, I fell off the ICANN radar for a little while, but I was still working in my country, in my own country. I was having big battles with the government, because some of you may know that when you run a CCTLD, sometimes the government feels that they should take control. Why should you have this, you know, control, this power for a national resource? Other governments have a different perspective. So I was, you know, quote unquote, fighting with the government a little bit, but at one point I suggested that the representatives of the government go to an ICANN meeting so they understand better the governmental perspective. And guess what happened? As soon as that government representative came back to my country, we became best of friends. And all of these issues that were happening, you know, with the fight about who should run the CCTLD, those issues just gradually faded away. Because by participating in an ICANN meeting, they got a better understanding of everybody's role. And there is an ecosystem ICANN has a role, ISOC has a role, all of the other organizations that are involved in running, well, not really running, but developing the internet, each person, each organization has a role, and each of the stakeholders has a role. Government has something to do. Business community has something to do. Technical community has something to do. And it is by participating at these ICANN meetings and getting the most from your participating that you, when you go back home, you can all work together as stakeholders to eventually get the best value out of this internet opportunity. And then eventually, one of the problems in my region was the lack of participation. We are very small. I used to go to meetings and hear countries stand up and say, well, we are a small country, we only have 5 million people. And then I would sit in the back of the room and say to myself, but what do I say when I have to speak? Because in my country, they're not 5 million, they're only 165,000. And in some of the other countries of the Caribbean, they are even less. Some have 60,000, some have 50,000. But you know what? Each of our countries is important. In each of our countries, there is an opportunity for development by using the internet. So no individual country is more important than the other. So don't feel that because you are from a small country that you don't have a place. Also, don't feel that because you're from a bigger country that your view should always be listened to. ICANN is a multi-stakeholder environment where everybody has a contribution to make. So within the Caribbean, there are about maybe 26, 27 countries. We have maybe 6 or 7 languages in our region as well. But there was a little representation. Nobody was going to ICANN meetings, and we were not taking best value of the internet opportunity. So within ICANN, there came this opportunity for someone to represent ICANN in the region. And I applied for the position, and let me tell you, it's a very rigorous process joining the ICANN. Alexandra and Janice are smiling. Very rigorous process. In ICANN, you will find that it's a very transparent organization. So you go on the ICANN website, you find all the financial details, all of the planning details, and so on. I was interviewed maybe 3 or 4 times by different people. I had to do my research, I had to prepare myself, but because of participation in ICANN meetings, I was ready. And eventually I got the job, and I'm now in a position where I'm working for ICANN, but I'm still representing the interests of my Caribbean. So when people ask me, where are you from? I never say I'm from St. Lucia, I say I'm from the Caribbean. And American Airlines, because I have to travel a lot to get to all of the other territories. But, and this is it. You may each find yourself in some sort of similar position. You may eventually, and it'll be a good thing, come to the stage where perhaps you can participate as an ICANN staff member. But if you do not participate as an ICANN staff member, you still have a critical role. You still have a very important role to go back to each of your countries and become a part of the global stakeholder engagement team. You make sure that all of the stakeholders understand what ICANN is all about, and then you encourage them to actually get involved and let the voice of your particular territory be heard. So I think I'll just end by talking a little bit about Latin America and the Caribbean, because we are in Buenos Aires, and what we tried to do in Latin America and the Caribbean is try to identify priorities for our region. And when you try to do that in a very large region, you end up with many priorities. And we started off with 40 priority projects that we should embark on. Now, if you're starting on priority projects, you can't start with all 40 at the same time. So we had to narrow it down, and we actually narrowed it down into 5 priority projects which we are engaged in. There are working groups, and we are trying to move these projects forward. One of them relates to internet security and stability at the DNS, the domain name service. Rodrigo spoke about that, the system which converts the names into numbers. Another project focuses on communication, hearing the voice of your region, of our region in Latin America, and also communicating outwards, you know, what our our priorities are. There is a project that focuses on capacity building, and you will find that that is very important in each of your regions. We need to engage on workshops, we need to engage in seminars so that other persons can learn about the various important aspects of ICANN. And in Latin America and the Caribbean, we are doing this in our region, but it can be replicated in other regions. You need to have a strategic plan for your region. How do you come up with a strategic plan? You look at what is important to you. You look at what your priorities are, and then you look at how you will embark on actions which will allow you to attain objectives which would relate to that strategic plan. So in Latin America and the Caribbean, when I speak to persons from the Caribbean in particular, I say to them, look, there are these five projects. Now let us see what we can do in the Caribbean to integrate our activities into these five projects. You, when you go back, need to do the same things in your region. Africa has a strategic plan, and what they have done is the same thing. So it's a different country, different people, different languages, but the approach is the same. It's a multi-stakeholder approach. We sit together, we listen, we have exchanges, and in the end, we decide on and we come up with actions that benefit our particular region. Now, I don't know maybe what Janice wants me to do at this stage. I know that she's just walked away from the table, but perhaps maybe Alexandra can speak to you a little bit.
Voy a hacer solo algunos apuntes sobre lo que ya...
I will refer a little bit to what has been already been said in Spanish from a communication perspective, because I am a communications manager for Latin America and the Caribbean, and I wanted to say that the list of acronyms is already printed in the list that we provided you with your tote bag. So you have all those acronyms explained, the acronyms that we are going to be using here. This multi-stakeholder model is also explained in several videos that we prepared in many languages, but especially for this region, it is in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. We have also created, and this was for the first time as well, this is a pilot experience for us, so we have created a leaflet with all the activities that have a special interest for Latin American and the Caribbean participants. It's always also in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. And it is a simple way to reach out or to get to those sessions on businesses or IPv6 or domains. It is very clear there. You can also participate remotely. You can follow the different sessions with social media. We have accounts on Twitter in several languages. In English, there is ICANN, but there is also in Spanish, ICANN slash S or ICANN slash PT. And we also have news in all of those languages. And this multi-stakeholder model is also explained in many leaflets that are written in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. This is in the ICANN booth that's just right next to registration. You can get your materials there. Now, if you have a question, we will always... Albert and me and some other people from the staff, but especially us from the region, we will be around the registration area during the whole week, so all consultations are welcome.
Thank you so much. I like to rove, so I've got to get up here for a second. So, Albert, I'm still trying to breathe for you through that. Wow. That's so much information. What I'd like to do is just to see if there's any questions from anybody about what we've talked about today, this morning, so far. The first hand up is the most painful, and everybody else's after that is really easy. Leon, thank you. Leon actually is an alumni of the fellowship program and was just nominated by that nominating committee, NOMCOM, to be a member of the at-large advisory committee. So, Leon, thank you.
Thanks, Janice. Well, I understand that there are different languages, different communities, and you've addressed that very well, I think. How about the multicultural environment we live within ICANN, because I think that's a very important factor. What seems right to me might not seem right to another person, depending on their cultural context.
So perhaps I'll make a few comments on that. We come from different places. We come from different cultures, and as a result, in a multi-stakeholder environment, we will represent and reflect those cultures. But also within ICANN, what you will find is that the different stakeholder groups and the different parts of the community also have their cultures. So I should warn you that if you enter an ALAC meeting and then perhaps immediately after go to an ESAC meeting, you will find very big differences in the way that the discussions take place. At large is a group of end users, and the end users tend to have their own ways of dealing with things. And the technical community, on the other hand, I mean, mainly engineers, they have their own very technical way of dealing with things. And then if you move to a different kind of environment within ICANN called the Governmental Advisory Committee, you will see something also very different to what you may have seen in the at-large group and to what you may have seen in the technical security group. Maybe perhaps the first thing you will notice is that most of them are dressed in suits and ties. There are some in jeans and t-shirts, but the way they deal with issues is very formal, almost like the United Nations. And perhaps you may find, if you are somebody who is from the business community, who is focused on getting results, you may find, well, why is this long discussion about whether you should have a comma, or whether you should have a full stop, or whether you should use the word the, or whether you should use some other kind of word. So there is a lot of variety. There is there are many differences that you will encounter, but remember, we are here to learn. We are here to learn the different ways that persons communicate with each other. Some people always speak loud. Some people always speak soft. Some people always want to have something printed in three languages. But prepare yourself for it. It will not all be the same. You may go into a room and you may find that some of the exchanges are aggressive. Don't be worried about that. And don't be fearful to pick up a mic, you know, and speak in a room where there appears to be some battle between two people who are on the 35th ICANN meeting and maybe 25th ICANN meeting. It's okay. You listen for a while, but you also have something important to bring to the table. So my comment will be, prepare for differences, but listen, observe, understand initially, and eventually you will find that you easily fit into whatever group that you feel you need to participate in.
Thank you, Albert. You know, I sit here and I listen to all of us this morning, I want to also recognize, and I mentioned it quickly at the beginning, I know some of you are here for a very specific purpose. You know, so this morning for some of you is like, I know the multi-stakeholder model. Thank you very much. That helped a little bit. You know, I know about these groups. I'm involved in one of these groups. I came here because I need to learn how to get something very specific out of this meeting. And not as a carrot or a teaser to get you to this afternoon, but what we want to do this afternoon is really get into those individual reasons that you might have wanted to come here and explain a little bit better about that work and how you can get engaged. So again, this afternoon, our Senior Director of Policy Development Support, Rob Hogarth, will talk about that GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, which really is the large nucleus of our policy making. Okay, so he'll talk about that a little bit. And Rob runs on questions. I mean, his juice, his energy comes from questions. So think about those kind of things if you really want to understand how are policies made here and why, you know, and how does it reach a global audience, and what does it mean to me as an internet service provider user? What does it mean to me about if I'm a lawyer or I'm concerned about trademark issues? We're going to talk about that this afternoon. We're going to talk with our security directors about how we are doing on training regarding security, how we can come to you to help about that, what we are doing about the new GTLDs and the policies around the new GTLDs as it applies to security. It's again our mandate, security and stability of the domain name system. So they'll talk more about that. So those of you interested in saying, I wanted to come here and learn about cybersecurity, learn about security of the DNS, this afternoon we're going to get to that place and introduce you to the people that you can walk out of the room later and know how to find to get those specific networking opportunities to get more information. And again, about the IANA function the functions that we are mandated as one entity in the entire internet ecosystem that we are mandated to do. So I know it's been a lot this morning, and again, I want to acknowledge for some of you, it's like, okay, I've heard it. For some of you, it's that's so overwhelming. I can't believe they expect me to come back this afternoon and hear more. But I promise you, we really want to engage with you on this. We want you to ask us the questions about those things that you really need to know. I've had the experience in 7 years of being able to watch a gentleman from Albania who had come and was having tremendous difficulties with his peers in Italy. And at first I thought, what the heck? Because I wasn't thinking from a political or a cultural perspective of what might be happening between these two countries as it relates to providing internet service. And an introduction between two individuals helped to ease that situation following the meeting. And it's those networking opportunities that we here in the newcomer program are trying to set up to provide to you so that you can get to one of us or someone here in the room or anyone. I see Olga Cavalli back here, who's a very influential member of the Latin American contingent here at ICANN. She has held many roles, a seat in the GAC. She has been part of at-large chair, vice chair of at-large. GNSO, sorry, I went to the wrong place, GNSO. So she's been involved for many, many years here, and we want to be able to have you see these faces of these individuals for even what others may think is a small problem. It's a large problem for you. You know, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have challenges that you want to resolve and things that you want to have changed. So we can't save the world. But we can help you to help yourself and your region by what we can offer here. The networking here, we'll talk about this afternoon, it's amazing. But you have to put your hand out and step forward and let us know how we can help with it. And I see a question over here, and I've got my Adrian, if you could come over with a microphone. And Olga, actually, if you'd like to say a couple words of welcome, you're more than welcome.
Shall I ask my question? Speaking of the networking, I'm Dahlia Saper. We're from Saper Law in Chicago, and we're excited to meet everybody. We saw on the calendar that there's an event this evening. Is there something? Could you just quickly go through what events there are from a networking perspective, both the rest of the week as well as I think there's one on Tuesday morning for women?
Actually, that's this afternoon. Not to make you come back, but please come back. This afternoon, the other thing we do is schedule building. We talk to you about how to get through the maze of an ICANN week and have your mind still attached to your body and brain when you leave on Thursday night. So that's part of what we want to talk about is the events that are happening. Tonight, for instance, we do have the 15th anniversary celebration at 7 o'clock open to everybody. So that's the fun at the end of a mind-blowing day. But this afternoon, we are going to show you.
Is it just an open format? Because I didn't see a breakdown of what happens when this afternoon.
For this afternoon, yeah, we have the 1:30 to 4. Here, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and so at 1:30, we talk about the policy building, and we don't want to be too time constrained because we want to have questions. But after that, we're going to talk about the functions that are ICANN's mandate, and IANA is part of that. Then we're going to talk about the registries, the registrars, IDNs, and GTLDs, and how to get the most out of it from a newcomer perspective, the sessions available to you, and the people to network with, and then security and stability. And at the end, we're going to just help on agenda building and the main sessions from a newcomer perspective that are happening throughout the week.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Yanis. Hello, everyone. I'm Olga Cavalli here from Argentina. Welcome to our beautiful city. We are so happy to have you all around. And let me tell you that you have the best people here that can help you understanding this environment. Yanis, she's the mother of so many of us here in ICANN. She's so lovely. We have Alexandra, that she's a newcomer into the staff, but she's a friend of all of us in the region and elsewhere, and Albert as well from the Caribbean. I don't know our friend in between Yanis and Alexandra, but I'm sure that she must be also great. And thank you for this opportunity. I just want to tell you that I coordinate with other colleagues a training program about internet governance. We do it every year in a different country of the Latin American and Caribbean countries, and the next one will be in the Caribbean for the first time. I'm so happy that we are doing that in Trinidad and Tobago. As part of the 25th anniversary of the Caribbean Telecommunications Union, we will organize the South School of Internet Governance in the Caribbean for the first time. We do grant fellowships for all the participants. We have some students in the audience here that were there last year in Panama. Go to our webpage, governanceinternet.org. I will bring some cards in the afternoon so you can have the right spelling of the website. You can go there and request a fellowship, and then we have a committee that makes the selection, and you're kindly invited to join us. In Panama, we had 150 fellows. And for the moment, we have trained in 6 years more than 500 friends. Many of you then become part of the ICANN family. So welcome. And if you need anything that I can help you, now I am the GAC representative of Argentina. I used to be a GNSO council member. And if you have any question that I can help, or you need something from Buenos Aires or any information, just grab me in the meeting and ask me. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. Olga is also a fellow. I want to just stress between the two of us for these different programs that are available. Sometimes when people hear the word fellow or student, they assume, oh, well, that's for folks in their teens or their 20s. When we're talking fellowships here, whether Olga or myself, I've had fellows in my group that are 65, 66 years old. They've retired, and they've had now this, you know, amazing thought to get involved with the internet, and they become fellows. I mean, so the age and all that, it doesn't matter. The interest and the motivation and the desire to learn more in a more focused and concentrated way, that's what matters. And so I want to really make it clear, age limitations don't happen with these fellowship programs.
Thanks, Yanis. And also, the same for the School of Internet Governance. We have no limitations with age, as a difference with other programs. Everyone who's interested is welcome to join. Thank you.
And while I have a minute, to my left is Maya Reynolds. She is a member of ICANN staff, and she is managing the ICANN newcomer booth that is right next to registration. We were going to talk about it this afternoon, but when you see Maya, you're seeing a person of amazing knowledge within ICANN. She's only been with us about a year and a half, but has worked with a finance team. And when you work with a finance team, you have to work with all the different departments of ICANN, and therefore she was my perfect mix to be in the booth. And she's working with a lot of the fellowship alumni who have had such great experiences and come from the different backgrounds. They might be a registry operator. They might be a member of the GAC. They may be a member of the non-commercial stakeholder group. But it's an amazing background and people that are available at the booth, and they too can connect you because of their connections and networking with people from ICANN community or staff that can help you with anything that you have this week, any questions or issues or things that you would like to try to start to resolve. We're all here to help. Are there any other questions?
Hello. Once again, my name is Yusuf Amedu from University of Ghana.
Can you put your microphone right up, turn it on and right up to
you? My name is Yusuf Amedu from University of Ghana. Yeah, this morning I also had the same question in my mind. Why am I here? But after listening to Albert and other speakers, I'm convinced that I must be here. Now, my other question is, what can I also do after I have acquired this knowledge? How can I get other universities in Ghana involved in ICANN activities? That's my question now.
That is a very good question, because it gives us the opportunity to talk about one of the important stakeholders in this multi-stakeholder model, the business community. Historically, the business community in many of our territories have not been as involved as really they could be. And I think part of the reason for that is that it's not always easy to understand exactly where business fits in to the whole ICANN multi-stakeholder model. Without going into detail, I will repeat something that Alexandra mentioned. There is this little pamphlet that has actually put in a separate section the sessions that would be of interest to persons from the business community. So you will see which of the ICANN sessions that you can go to. And I'm sure this is a brochure. It's in three different languages. This is what it looks like. And you can get some of these from the registration booth. But the general answer to that question is you have a big job. Because while you are here at the ICANN meeting, you now need to understand what role business plays, where business fits in, so that when you go back to your country, you start talking to your investors, and there are big opportunities in the GNSO space with the generic top-level domains. I mean, there may be an investor who is interested in registering one of what we call the new GTLDs. Instead of .com, .org, and .edu, there may be an investor who is interested in registering, I don't know, .gambling or .cars. Okay, there may be something in your region where persons would like to have websites that end in .something. And you will then need to understand the whole process that an investor has to go through in terms of applying for this new domain name. You would need to understand how he needs to put his business plan together and what the various stages are. And you can learn about that here at those meetings, which are dealing with the new GTLD program. The new GTLD program is what we call a very hot topic here at ICANN. There are several new domain names that have been delegated recently. The first four were what we call IDNs. That acronym means International Domain Name. And all an IDN is for a country that does not use the regular script where you see A, B, C, D, E, F, and so on, but for countries like China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and so on, who use different scripts, they are now able to use the internet in their own scripts. They are not forced to use a language which is not native to them. And this is one of the aspects of ICANN's work which increases competition and increases choice. The ICANN is not only for English speakers. The ICANN is for everyone. And by having having these IDNs and by having new top-level domains that relate to something that is of interest to your business people and to everybody's business constituencies, we have an internet that better represents the end users. So in answer to your question, you have a big job. You have to learn all about the business constituency, or a little bit about the GNSO and the new GTLDs, and your job then will be to bring that back and have maybe workshops in your country, bring your Chamber of Commerce together. You can maybe speak at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. You can bring the technical community in your country together, explain to them what these new GTLDs are, explain what their role is with security. And my friend, your work is cut out for you. And this is the same for many of us that come from, you know, or who will be representing the business community when we go back to our countries. While I have the mic, Janice reminded me that I need to talk about something. It may be a surprise and a disappointment to you at an ICANN meeting, but you have no free time. There are scheduled sessions, but there are coffee breaks, and there are lunch breaks, and there are evening social functions. Some persons would argue that the coffee breaks and the lunch breaks and the evening social functions are maybe even more important than the scheduled functions. Why? Because they give you an opportunity, you know, one-on-one to talk to somebody over, you know, at the coffee table, or better yet, for 1 hour over lunch, you're stuck with them. They're at your table. You have to ask about their country. They have to ask about yours. They have to ask, what do you do? Why are you here? And you need to come up with the answers. But at the end of it, you know them by name, George, Gabby, Teresa. And when you see them in the lobby, you can do what Janice spoke about earlier. You go up and you give a big hug the next time you see them, as because we're all part of this big family. So make an effort during the coffee breaks to speak to somebody who you don't know, to speak to somebody that you have not met before, to practice that second language that you are learning. If your native language is English, try to speak some Spanish. After all, you're in Buenos Aires. Habla español. Hablo poquitito de español. And I have to because I'm in Buenos Aires. Make that effort. Some of you are extroverts and some of you are introverts. Those of you who are introverts, you really have to try harder. I used to be an introvert. And Janice, believe it or not, there was a time when, you know, I didn't speak at all to anybody. I would hate the breaks because it meant you had to go now and speak to strangers. But you know what? At the end of that experience, you would have grown a little bit and you would have started the beginnings of a new relationship, which you can now take to great places. When you leave here, you go back to your country and you have a friend in Armenia, you have a friend in Czechoslovakia, you have a friend in Russia, you have a friend in Argentina, and that makes all of the difference when you are working towards completing projects related to the internet.
Okay, it's really hard today to believe that Albert was an introvert.
Es difícil ahora poder pensar que alguna vez Albert haya sido un introvertido. Tengo un comentario de participación remota desde Bangladesh.
Saim, and he or she says that ICANN need more initiative and engagement program for participating ICANN policy development process, especially for developing country. We also thank ICANN for at-large structure. That was a comment.
And a comment well received. I'll say we are just now, from a fellowship standpoint, getting fellows from that region. Our first fellow from Nepal, my friend Bikram, is up here in front. First time in Beijing or Toronto? Toronto, yeah. First time in Toronto. And Bikram came a bit quietly to us. Within about 2 days, we couldn't get him off the stage. So some people adapt much easier than others. We had our first fellow from Sri Lanka as well at that meeting. So we're just getting, reaching really out. And we need folks like this to reach in and knock on the door to us, just like you're doing through remote participation. And I'm glad we got one remote comment because it makes us remember again what was talked about this morning with Rodrigo. And remote participation is the way for you to engage, not just with ICANN, but even with the Internet Governance Forum and other Internet entities who offer remote participation, even if you can't afford or take the time to go to one of these locations. And so this person from Bangladesh has been following us through the live stream provided, and the presentation is able to come in and ask questions and participate. So it's a great tool. Do we have any other questions? Or are we all good? So I would want to thank all of you for being here this morning. I hope we didn't talk too much and overwhelm too much. But this afternoon, we kind of clean the deck and start over and talk about those individual subjects. And we're very excited to have you come back with us. Remember, the ICANN booth is there for you. Anything from where do you get something to eat? Where are the restrooms? How do I get that cool bag somebody else did? Or what sessions are really appropriate for me, and how do I manage to get from Monday to Tuesday? I'm exhausted. The ICANN booth is there for all of those questions and support, and I do look forward to seeing you all back here this afternoon.